Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including a question from Lori and Eric about the hippity-dippity pool. I know it's the hippity-dippity pool. Over at Pop Century, they're staying one night at Pop prior to an Old Key West vacation, and they want to know if the construction at the hippity-dippity pool will impact their trip. Can they still go swimming? They love to swim. But what about the other pools? Here are our thoughts on that and much more. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days till your next Disney vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down to my old iPhone XS Max, and I can see that I'm down to 11 days till I head down to Walt Disney World. Going to spend a lot of time in Epcot. Saying farewell, Illuminations. You can get excited for your next trip as well. Just visit virtualmickey.com. Check out all the great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. They're over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast is use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1539 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We are getting you ready for the big weekend out in Noblesville, Indiana. That's right. It's that time of the year. It's time for the Indy Disney Meet. Tons of Disney fans getting together for a great cause to raise money for Give Kids the World. Come by and say hello to us. We'll all three be there at the Magic for Less table. We have a booth that can be seen from space. Shouldn't be hard to find us, so come on over. And we're actually going to record a podcast, and we're going to ask you to join us. We'll give the details on that. It'll, you know, we'll just check in on the social media for that. We're not sure on the time. We're going to wait and see how the day plays out. But we're going to have you jump in. You got 5 minutes to give a hot take or a question. And we'll record a show here for the feed live from the Indy Disney Meet this Saturday in Noblesville, Indiana. But for right now, we are talking Disney, having a great time answering your listener questions. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
You know, you all are lucky. I love you so much. No, not really. I had my taken out on Saturday, and I'm here for you today. So I'm just saying, you're lucky. I love you.
Wait, you kind of dropped out. You had a wisdom tooth pulled on a Saturday?
I did. Yes, sir.
Wait, so, wow. What kind of a dentist works on a Saturday? Where'd you go?
My dentist works on a Saturday, and they pulled out my tooth. It went right out. So anyway, I'm one tooth less.
And you lost 12 IQ points with that wisdom tooth.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. According to my brother, I did, so it's fine. Because we had a debate about what the wisdom tooth fairy would look like.
It's got to be at least a good $50 under your pillow.
I said she probably would look a little homely, so she's not as special as the actual tooth fairy.
Maybe she's like older, because you usually have your wisdom teeth out, you know, like as you get older.
So I want to know, what do you think the wisdom tooth fairy would look like?
Or typically, it's like a dropout college kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, usually you lose your wisdom teeth when you're in college. So it's like some broke kid writing home, Mom, I'm overdraft. I got an overdraft on my bank account. Help me out.
Right. It's like a surly young adult.
That's it. Exactly. That's exactly what I picture. I picture just kind of picture Paige as the...
Wow.
Yes. Well, she's a grad student now, so what can you do? You know, grad assistant for Mizzou women's basketball, so serving the SEC. We got to like that. Anyway, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, save us. We're talking Disney the rest of the show.
Not wisdom teeth?
No.
That seemed like such a popular topic.
Yeah. There's a lot of those shows out there.
Yeah. What are we going to hashtag that? I'm not sure. I'm sure it'll bring in a lot of new listeners. But anyways, yes.
Hashtag wisdom tooth fairy. I'm just saying.
hashtag oral surgery today.
Wow. Some of that may bring in new listeners. Not all of it, but it depends on how you hashtag it. So anyways, but yes, so we are talking Disney. I hope we don't lose our rating on that last little joke. But anyways, we're talking about Disney today. Listener questions, which are sort of our strong point. I'm not sure how, but we have made a whole Wednesday's worth of shows based around this concept. So what happens is you ask us either by writing into Mike or posting here on the FaceTube as we record. And we try our best to answer. Sometimes we get them right. Sometimes we get them wrong. It's always mildly entertaining.
Focus on the mildly. All right. First question of the day. We're talking about Pop Century pools. And actually, where I'll be here in 2 weeks from today, I'll actually be at Pop Century riding on those Skyliners, the gondolas. Gondolas. Can't wait. It's going to be fun. See, it's Lori and Eric says, hello, Mike. Thanks for your podcast. I've been enjoying listening to it as I drive to and from work each day. My family and I are heading down to Disney World for our March break. We have a reservation already at Old Key West from the Saturday to the Saturday, but are considering grabbing a Friday evening flight to maximize our time down south. Well done. Well done. As we would like to take advantage of Magical Express, I thought about booking one night at Pop Century since so many people sing its praises. I noticed on the Disney site that the Hippity Dippity Pool, will be under construction at that time. As we are only spending one night and part of the next day there before heading over to Old Key West, do you think this will impact our stay much? Coming from Canada, one of our goals is to spend lots of time swimming, so we would definitely want to swim first thing Saturday morning. We will not be visiting any of the parks that day. Should we consider a different value resort instead? Thanks for your advice, Lori and Eric. Well, first of all, thanks for tuning into the show as you drive to and from work. Here's my two cents on this, and I'll go. This is not going to be a long one, but just real quick. I would still say at Pop Century, it offers a lot. You know, I think if you're somebody that's, I listen to actually retro podcasts. I listen to shows about the 80s and collectibles and TV shows and arcades and video games. So, like this resort couldn't hit me better. This one in Cabana Bay over at Universal, love it. Pop Century's got three pools. It's got the Hippy Dippy pool, which is the feature pool right in the middle of the resort outside the main building between the 60s buildings. It's nice. It's got some, they look like flower power tulips or whatever that shoot water out. It's a great pool. However, as my family has grown up, we've always tried to stay in the 50s. There's a bowling pin pool, which we've always liked. And so you have that pool, and you also have the pool down in the 80s that kind of looks like it's the base of a laptop computer. Either one of those pools will do you fine because they're all pools. They don't have slides, any of them. You know, they're all three slideless. You're not going to get any more. It's kind of a thematic thing other than the spraying flower pools. I would say stay there, take it in. I would not change a hotel reservation for this fact. Pam, what about you?
I agree. I think that Pop Century has so many positives at this point. First of all, the rooms have been redone, and we've talked about them a few times here on the podcast. But if you haven't, you know, seen them in person, go over to Mouse for Less and check them out. There are great photos there. They have the queen size bed and then the pull down table bed, which they have a fancy name for that I just call. Yes, I just call it the pull down table bed, but there is a fancy name for it. But anyways, that makes it, you know, just awesome. They've added all kinds of plugs and things that make your room great. And as we always say, Pop Century and Art of Animation, one of the great reasons to stay at either of those resorts is you're within walking distance to the other one's food court. And those happen to be the two best food courts at any two Disney resorts. So I think for those reasons, it's worth it. You'll be able to swim at the other pools. Like Mike said, you can't use the pools over at the Art of Animation. Those two resorts do not share privileges at the pools, but walking over and doing eating in a meal at the food court is a great idea. And make sure you check out those menus before you go, and you'll be all set.
All right, Ricky, would you switch or no? It's just one night. They want to swim. I get it. They're coming from Canada. A good time to swim. March in Walt Disney World. You still got the 50s and the 80s pools.
Yeah, I really wouldn't change. I would stay there still. I think that it's a much better resort overall. It is my favorite as well. And like I said, the bowling pin pool is awesome.
That's my
favorite. Who doesn't love to swim in a pool shaped like a bowling pin? So I always think it's funny about the computer pool, though, because, you know, it's just a big giant square. So, like,
but it's got like the laptop you're looking at. It's all about perspective. You're actually the keyboard. You're looking up at the screen.
No, the key, yeah, it's just weird to me. But anyway, I would much rather swim in the bowling pin pool myself.
Yeah, me too.
So
we haven't ever spent much time in the 80s pool, I'll be honest. We always go down to the pit. There's just like a cool vibe. I mean, it's like you got the gutters on the side and the bowling balls and like the changing rooms or the shoe rack. I love that pool. It's so cute.
That's cool.
All right, next question about Skyliner Crawl. It's from Emily. Hey, BOG family. I will be traveling to Walt Disney World in early November, staying at the Beach Club. It's a girls' trip with my best friend. We're very excited. We want to ride the Skyliner, but obviously don't need it to get to Epcot or Hollywood Studios. Thinking of something fun we could see or eat at Pop and Caribbean Beach that would make it more of like a it's about the journey, not the destination kind of feel. Any thoughts? Love listening to your podcast. Thanks for entertaining me on my walks. Thanks, Emily. Remember, Emily, step on a crack, break your mother's back. Watch where you step. All right. Anyway, so they're going to do a Skyliner crawl. I guess this is going to become a thing, maybe like the monorail crawl where you kind of stop and snack and maybe drink. Something at Pop Century. Well, Pop Century, obviously, for me, is the tie-dye cheesecake. It's kind of unique, but it's gotten to bring a microscope nowadays. I mean, like, it used to be huge and it used to be triangular. Now it's like round and small. It's not that big. Like, I need two of them. Maybe it's just that my appetite's gotten larger. I just love these things.
No, they are tiny.
They're a lot smaller than they used to be back in, you know, I feel like such an old timer. Like, 15 years ago.
It's like cheesecake. Now it's just like a round little container of cheesecake. It's not the same.
Yeah, we need the wedges back. Bring back the wedge. Yeah. Anyway, so yes. Caribbean Beach, though, has lots of options. I have not been there since the refurb. So, Ricky, offer up maybe something different at Pop and something at Caribbean Beach.
All right. Well, at Pop, of course, I mean, you know, the food court there is so fantastic. Brian and I actually had some really good meals while we were there recently. Like, their fried chicken is actually really, really good. So, you could always get some fried chicken, I'm just saying. And then... seriously, I love Caribbean Beach. I think they've done a fantastic job with what they've done. You do have the Center Town Market, which is their food court, but then they also have Sebastian's Bistro, which I think is phenomenal. I really like the food at Sebastian's. They have some great appetizers, like the jerk chicken wings and the pull apart bread with all the dips. They're so yummy. But if you're looking for like maybe drinks or something like that, you do have the Banana Cabana pool bar, which is also really spectacular over at Caribbean Beach. So I really, really, really like Caribbean Beach and what they've done over there. So I think there's a plenty of choices for you to do your Skyliner crawl. I
love it. It's the gondola. We need to come up with something with a G. The gondola.
Not Gabfest.
It's got to be something with a G that means like to get around.
The gondola gathering.
We'll workshop it. All right, Pam. So what else? Like a snack at Pop and a snack at Caribbean Beach.
So I absolutely am going to say at Caribbean Beach, Sebastian's is fantastic, but Banana Cabana is great too. I agree with Ricky. We've actually eaten at Sebastian's now a few times. I hate to even say that because then, I'm worried that it's going to get busy, but the food there is good. Everything we've had there is good. The drinks are good. Appetizers are good. So everything that we've had there is good. They've actually made, some new entrees there on the menu. They have a fish and chips, which looks really good. And make sure you try some of the drinks while you're there because they're really good. And the Banana Cabana is actually one of my favorite places that doesn't require a reservation, which I love that. And one of the reasons is, of course, you can see the higher fireworks from Illuminations or whatever it may be when you're there. One of the eight different things that it could be. So definitely give that a shot. I think Pop Century is a good solid food court. One of the things I like about the Pop Century food court is they have a really big refrigerator section. And that means there's lots of different desserts there. So people who have a sweet tooth, guess what? You'll find something. Plus, they also have that little ice cream area at Pop Century too, which is really good. And just lots of different choices. Like Ricky said, they actually have an entree that is sort of on special or the feature of that night each night. So make sure you check that out too.
I remember Scott got a shake there. I think it was called the King at Pop Century. We were staying there one time at Christmas, or maybe it was Marathon Weekend. I can't remember, but it had like had like bacon in it, like a bacon strip. I mean, not talking like little sprinkles. Like it had a slab of bacon in the thing. It was so crazy. You know, you said it was good. All right, we have suggestions coming in from the live chat for the name of the gondola crawl. It's William Heinrich up in Oregon State. Go Beavs. He has the gondola gastronomic gathering.
I like that.
Stephanie's got the gondola glide.
Nice.
Okay, we got another one coming in here. The gondola gallop.
Love
there
it.
There you go.
Or the gondola gate.
Love
and
it.
Gondola gate. That sounds like something bad.
That does. That sounds like something.
Gondola gate.
Yeah, you don't want your doctor to tell you you've got a case of that. That's bad. All right, next question. Speaking of new things, Grandestino activities from Lisa. She's in Dayton, Ohio, and she's 968 miles from Art of Animation and will not drive roughly 2 hours to get a Southwest flight to MCO. So there you go. She says, hey, BOGP podcast team. I just booked my family's trip for June of 2020. Countdown, 268 days to go. It'll be myself, my oldest son, his wife, and three kids who are 9, 6, and 2. My daughter-in-law is a high school Spanish teacher and has multiple experiences with travels to Spain and participated in the college exchange program and lived in Mexico. We are really excited to resort hop to see Grandestino. With it being so new, I haven't seen any resort activities related to the new tower. I'm hoping by the time we go, they will have added either some culinary or even cultural experiences. I would love to tour some of the restaurants and resort just to see the artwork. I would also love to see a wine tasting with tapas and dessert. Knowing you and the team are big fans of the resort, will you update the listeners if they add any such activities? Also, we need Ricky to do a review of the Skyliner from Pop to an earlier morning Bon Voyage ADR. Love the podcast, Lisa. All right, Pam, so you've stayed at Grandestino Tower a few times already now. I think these are great suggestions, especially when you consider what Animal Kingdom Lodge offers with the tour of Boma and Jico, kind of that same thing. Totally free tour. And also, you know, kind of immersing yourself in the culture. What do you think, Pam?
I agree. So I think what is going on here is really that the activities at Coronado are open to all guests. And they're really sort of just focusing on those things. It is a newer resort. I think that they want to make sure that they've hit their stride in terms of service and having everything move, you know, in the right direction. But they do offer some really cool things at Coronado. They have sort of like a nature walk that is a self-guided thing that you can do.
That's really cool. Right, you can pick it up at the in the gift shop. They have
I think they have them at the pamphlet. Front desk. They might too. Yeah. And they just, you know, it's a great location. But I think what I would do if I were you, if you want to spend a little bit of time at Coronado, is go ahead and make your own wine tasting. You can either go up to Dahlia's, and if it's in the evening and it's open, you could go over to Three Bridges and have something out there on the lake. Or you could go to Barcelona. We had drinks there a couple times. And there's some really interesting drinks there, so make sure you try it. You know what's funny is they were very much into gin drinks. They have a lot of different gin drinks, which I'm not really a gin drinker. So this poor bartender, he spent like literally 10 minutes explaining all these things to me. And I looked at him, I'm like, yeah, I don't really drink gin. But thank you. I know. I didn't want to break his heart, but I wasn't going to order one. So I was like, I want this instead. But anyways, they're very knowledgeable there. So if you are into that, absolutely have a conversation there. But yeah, lots of really cool drinks. But anyways, up at Dahlia's, of course, you can have a view of the Hollywood Studio fireworks. They do not pipe in the music, but it's fine. Guess what? You can still see the fireworks, and it's really cool. So gonna have to do something. Just, do a little wine stuff on your own.
You plug in your headphones, and when the fireworks start, press play. Yes.
Or just, you know, just hum it. You know, or you just play the beginning of the BR Guest podcast if you're
watching. Fireworks.
I know it's Fantasmic, but I mean you can see Fantasmic too. There's probably like six shells in that show, and it's kind of fun. Yeah. I love I haven't seen Fantasmic in ages, and I love Fantasmic.
You haven't seen it.
I mean, I've seen it a billion times, but I just haven't seen it in so long. It's such a lot of work, but it got, when I go back there, I love that show. That's a good show.
I'm indifferent.
You have a plan to do it.
You do, but it's a good show. I love
I'm
it.
I'm indifferent.
Especially when all the characters come out on the boat at the end. I love that. pretty sweet. Anyway, next question, Ricky. This one's going to be up your alley. It says, it's from Angela Ferguson. I wasn't sure what the best way to get this question is to you, so hopefully this works. It came in through the Facebook page. My question is about the shows at Epcot. Illuminations ends in September, and then they're having a temporary show until the new official show begins, correct? What is the date for the new show? How long will the temporary show be in place? We're visiting February 7th through 12th, and it would be neat to be in the window of the temporary show. Thanks, Angela. Good news, right, Ricky? She's going to see the temporary show. Epcot forever.
So we don't have an official date for Epcot, or the beginning of Harmonious, which is the second show.
No, it's Harmonious.
I'm sorry, Harmonious. we don't have the date for that yet. However, I am hearing it's going to be about 9 months or so that they're going to run the Epcot Forever show. So give or take. Again, that's a rumor. And until Disney officially announces a date for Harmonious, you know, keep that as a rumor. But that 9 month window, I think, is a safe bet as of right now. So you're going to be in that 9 month window. Hey, so that sounds good. So you're going to get to see Epcot Forever, more than likely. For sure.
You can see Epcot forever, but not forever for 9 months.
No, so. I know. And you know we're all going to like the Epcot.
I know. It's like I'm starting to wrap my head around getting ready.
No, don't get rid of it. It's only been 9 months.
Dude, it's like ripping off not one Band-Aid, but two. It won't be as bad.
Exactly.
But come on
now. No, it's still going to be
brutal.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is titled, Excited to Pick a Pearl. I had to check this to make sure it wasn't Paige from when she was 12, because that was that would have been Paige's email. Anyway, it's from Anne-Marie. Let's see here. She is in Massachusetts. Hi, BOGP crew. Love your show, and I learned so much about trip planning from all of your shows. We're headed to Epcot in October, and my daughter would love to do the Pick a Pearl experience in Japan. We may not be there until later in the evening, and I'm wondering if they still offer it later in the day. Thank you in advance and for your help and the magic, Annie in Massachusetts. So, Ricky, they do this in the evening. I'm pretty sure I've been in there in the evenings, and they've been doing this like even after dinner, like at 8 or 9, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they still do it in the, you know, they definitely do it in the evening. I mean, it's in the store, so it's not like it's not like a real entertainment thing. Like it's actually right in the store. So as long as the store is open, they're going to be doing Pick a Pearl. So you're good. Go get your pearl.
It's so fun. Like even if you don't even do it, like I'm a tightwad.
Yeah, if you
just
watch.
I mean, I was a sucker and I did it for Paige. The thing is, like, she would get these things. Like she probably has five of them. Don't know where they are anymore. She's
no,
got
it,
hardly who knows they made it back in the car back then,
right? Yeah,
but it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's like the lightsaber, but it's about the experience, right? Not the product.
That's right. It's about the experience, Mike. So enjoy your $200 lightsaber.
I've been having a hard time getting a reservation. I had a listener email me just about 2 hours ago saying, "I have a reservation for the build a lightsaber if you want it." I'm like, oh my gosh, now I'm really sweating. Because I could have at least said I couldn't get a reservation and that bailed me out of not doing it. Now it's like, it's a whole nother level of sweat that I got on my forehead. Because like, I really, really want to do this. But I'm going to come walking back in from a fun weekend at Walt Disney World while my wife has been working all week.
Uh-huh.
And I come strolling in with a lightsaber that costs $200 and she knows it's $200. So it's like,
well, that was your fault for telling her that it was $200.
I mean, I'm sitting here yelling it out in the house. She probably hears it. And so, like, and she's not dumb either. So she knows Disney. She's been going there just as much as I have. She always goes with me, and she knows things are not $10 like at Target.
Yeah. I swear, I paid $10 for this lightsaber.
I ain't pulling the wool over her eyes on this one. And I mean, it's like, how much do I value my life when I get back on that Wednesday after school?
That's a good question, Mike. How much do you value your marriage?
No, all of it.
Figured test.
Divorced and dead, so that could be another podcast.
Yes, there you go.
And shout out to Jack Henry checking in, watching us live on Facebook with Jennifer. So, hey,
what's Jack up, Jack Henry? Yay!
All right, so we have another question here. It's about the Princess Half Marathon weekend for non-runners. Oh. It's from Megan. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We have reservations at both Pop Century and Caribbean Beach for upcoming trip over the Princess Half Marathon weekend, Friday, February 21st to Wednesday, February 26th. But we're not running. We chose these dates because we're from New Orleans. We'll have Monday and Tuesday off for Mardi Gras. We have a family of four with kids aged 4 and 1. We're also planning a July 2020 trip, so we don't feel pressured to pack in a lot on this trip. Our interests are a half or whole day at each park, including seeing Festival of the Arts before it ends that Monday. Which days would you hit each park to avoid race crowds? Also, any thoughts on Pop versus Caribbean Beach for this particular weekend? Currently, there is a $75 a night difference, and we'll make our final decision before 30 days out. Is there enough room for a pack and play in the pop rooms without feeling like we're on top of each other? Thank you for your advice, and thank you for bringing some Disney magic into my life 3 days a week, Megan. All right, so let's boil it down to the Princess Half Marathon weekend, as well as most race weekends at Walt Disney World, are focused around Epcot. Everything's going to happen in the Epcot parking lot, and the 10K is going to happen in the Epcot Resort area and the park. The Half Marathon will go from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom and back to Epcot, but it doesn't have a huge impact on the Magic Kingdom, so I would say, as long as you are steering clear of Epcot on Friday super early in the morning, that's going to clear out, because that's the Friday's the
10K.
No. Friday's not 5K. Even a race. Is there a 5K?
Right. No, 5K.
Yeah, that's right. There is a 5K. I'm getting my weekends all mixed up. Yeah, so Friday morning.
Sorry, I was getting confused with a marathon weekend.
Yeah, me too. So Friday morning is going to clear out really quickly. So by the time you head to Epcot, most likely on Friday, everything's going to be good. Saturday and Sunday are going to be a little bit more dicey, but if you're going to Epcot, say, after 11 o'clock in the morning, no impact at all. Sunday will have impacts at Epcot until, say, noon, and then you're probably clear. The other parks are going to be fine. You just got to watch transportation. Going to the Magic Kingdom on Sunday with the Half Marathon, they will close some of the roads going down to the park and back. But I would steer clear. I would try to do, like, Animal Kingdom or the Studios on Sunday. And other than that, as long as you're not going there first thing, you're going to be good, I think. Ricky, is that a good plan?
I think that's a great plan. Now, the other thing you want to look out for is because you're going, I'm guessing, to avoid Mardi Gras. I'm guessing that's when Mardi Gras weekend actually is. It's going to be really crowded at Disney that weekend because a lot of people have the same idea of avoiding Mardi Gras. So just know that. So in addition to people avoiding the crowds for that, you're going to have the half marathon crowds. So crowds might be a little heavier than you were anticipating. Just a warning.
And I'm sure you'll have on your purple and gold. It's like LSU everywhere. It's like LSU threw up on everything basically that week. What about the other question, Pam? The Pop Century or Caribbean Beach? $75 a night difference. What do you look at for that choice?
So when I'm trying to decide which resort I'm going to stay at, and even which category of Disney resort, because you have values, moderates, deluxe, and deluxe villa resorts, what I'm thinking about is how much time am I going to be spending at the resort, right? How much time am I going to be spending using the amenities like the pool? Is a slide important to me? I mean, for some families, slide is make or break. Truly, truly. And I understand that because you spend time at the pool. You want there to be something for the kids to really enjoy or the adults. So that's really important. Some people, a table service restaurant is slam dunk, something that's really important to them because they don't want to have to go other places. They want to be able to come back to the resort and have a table service meal. So you're looking really at moderates and deluxes for that. In particular, every moderate except for French Quarter, which shares the table service with Riverside. So that's what I'm thinking about. And I'm also thinking about, do I want a resort that has a lot of recreation opportunities? For sure. Now, the thing that you specifically mentioned was the size of the room. It can make a difference sometimes, especially when you have a pack and play in there. I know what you mean, like when you say, am I going to be stepping over it? And it's hard because I think in any room, no matter how big it is, you almost feel like you're stepping into it, right? The reason why I feel like sometimes the values have sort of a leg up on that is there is a spot sort of in that vanity area where I feel like a pack and play sort of fits well, and you can close like the doors or the curtains or something like that. Now, there is something like that a little bit in the value resorts, but it isn't quite like it is in the moderate resorts. So consider that and just consider how much time you're going to spend in the room and things like that. I know when you have littler ones, sometimes you're in the room a lot more because you got to sort of keep them on their schedule, and that sort of allows you to do that.
And Pop Century has those beds that I call the Shin Buster 2000s. Like, something. Is it just Pop Century? But, like, when I go to Pop Century, and I'll be there again in 2 weeks, so I need to remember to pack Paige's old shin guards from high school soccer. Or my, like, old hockey shin guards when I played. Because, like, every time I'm in that room, there's something about, like, it's like an optical illusion. Like, but I walk into those dang bed frames are like the edges, and they just and they hurt so bad. Like there's something about them that brings you to like buckles you. I mean, Pam, if you hit those, there's no joke. There's something.
I know what you're talking about for sure. It's just the edge of the bed. It sort of sticks out a little bit more than the actual mattress. So yeah, I know what you mean. But I think for you, Mike, because you're taller, it's like further away. Maybe I don't know why. Is he particularly susceptible to
and
it,
I'm blind.
Maybe?
I mean, I start screaming like South Carolina scored a touchdown on Mizzou when I hit my shins on those things. So anyway. All right, Karen's got a question in the live chat. Says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My husband, two daughters who are 16 and 11, and I are staying at Beach Club Resort standard room for 8 days in July of 2020. We'll be using the regular Disney dining plan for our length of stay. My sister wants to join us for 2 nights. We should be able to add her to the room as it sleeps 5. However, can I just add her as a guest but not have her on our meal plan? We would just like to pay for her meals out of pocket. Also, do I make sure she has the same fast pass times as us? She's a huge Star Wars fan, so we plan to spend all of her time with us at Hollywood Studios. Thank you in advance for your words of wisdom, Karen. And we even have wisdom, even though Ricky is missing a wisdom tooth today.
I'm missing wisdom today. I'm just saying, I'm missing wisdom today.
So the bad news is, Karen, if you add your friend, let's see, who are we adding? Your sister to the plan. She is going to be on there, and she's going to be on the dining plan just like the rest of you. Unfortunately, you can't just like have a dining plan for one guest in the room and not everybody else. Everybody has to be on the same plan, same tickets. Been a rule for Disney for years, so really that's kind of the deal. Pam, any suggestions? And also, remember with Fast Passes, Galaxy's Edge does not have Fast Passes at this moment. Right. Who knows, in July they could. These things are obviously possibly going to change, probably going to change. But right now, there's no Fast Passes at Galaxy's Edge. So, Pam, what would you suggest for Karen? Because she's looking, I get it. She wants to have some fun with her sister.
So you can add someone as a day guest. And that's something that you would have to do at the resort. You're not able to do it in advance, which means that that guest will not have access to things like Disney's Magical Express transportation from the airport, and they will not be able to make fast passes in at 60 days out, just like you're able to do because you're staying at the resort. Now, when you add a day guest, if you already have, let's say, two adults in the room and you add a day guest, first of all, you have to not go over room capacity, which you said you weren't going to do. But when you add another adult, they absolutely will charge you for the extra adult for those nights that she will be there. So those will be, the charge for those things. If you want to have her there the whole time, though, like Mike said, you absolutely have to have everyone on the same package, and then she would be able to get the fast passes at the same time that you do. There's really no trick in matching out fast passes when some people can make them 60 days in advance and some can make them 30. At the 30-day mark, you're really just going to have to try to try again to see what's available, essentially, for the days that she will be there. So it's not quite as easy, but it's not doable. It's just that you have to do a little finagling for that. So,
all right. Daniel's got a question in the live Facebook chat. Again, we record most Mondays around 5:45 Eastern. So come by and join us. I said suggestions for quick service lunch near the Magic Kingdom. He has the midday magic tickets, it looks like. I would say in the Magic Kingdom, Columbia Harbor House. Love it. I know it's like broken record. Outside of the Magic Kingdom, I might go to Captain Cook's. Ricky, what about you? I took yours. I know
you
like
stole
Captain
mine.
Cook's. I know.
So thanks a lot.
My bad.
So definitely Captain Cook's. Or you can consider maybe the Wave if you're looking for something table service. The Wave is really good.
Or the bar or the lounge if it's open. I guess it would be open for lunch, would it?
Oh wait, yeah, what the?
Probably not. Bam, that place we ate that night, it was really good, but is that open in the afternoon?
What is it?
The Wave Lounge.
Oh, the Wave Lounge. Yeah. I don't know that you might have to order from the bartender, but it's, yeah, it's there.
It's good.
The other thing, though, you could do is absolutely Geyser Point.
Bam, you're so smart.
Go there. I know, that's the correct
excellent
answer.
Choice. Right. Yeah, that is perfect.
Guess who has all her wisdom teeth? Pam Forrester does.
Yes, that's... I got dumber, definitely, and Pam got my wisdom, yes.
The thing is, I just wanted to warn everyone, is they have been much more strict in terms of... So, I don't know if you're driving or using Disney transportation, but in terms of letting you park at any of the resorts that they're in the Magic Kingdom area, they're asking for you to actually have an advanced dining reservation. You can't just roll up and be like, I'm going to shop or I'm going to eat at quick service. They're actually looking for that. So keep that
in
mind.
The problem is that Geyser Point doesn't have the ability to make the dining reservation.
I know.
So yeah, it's kind of a catch 22, right? Yeah.
So what you would have to do then is park in the Magic Kingdom parking lot at the TTC and then take the boat from the Magic Kingdom over to the Wilderness Lodge. And that's easy peasy to do. If that's where you're going to end up anyways and you're coming in from off-site or doing that, it's easier in most cases to park at the TTC and then go from that point.
So. Just don't be starving when you get on there because it's going to take a while.
It is going to take a while. True. It's going to be an adventure.
And just know right now, I don't know if a lot of people know, but right now they are doing some major construction work to the front of the Magic Kingdom, like the TTC. So the tram is actually not taking you very far right now. You actually have to walk. Like, you know where you go under the water with the tram? Well, right now you actually have to walk that. They're dropping you off well before you get to that point. So just know it's kind of a frustration. I get it. But they are working on making the tram section better. But right now it's just kind of a frustration. And they've been working on that for a while. So just know, I don't know when that's going to finish, when the work will be completed. But as of right now, they are definitely, it's definitely a little bit of a pain point. So.
All right, let's get to the last question of the day. It's from Michael Schilling in the live Facebook chat. He says, 3 weeks until Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. What are the biggest tips for getting there early with a 6 and 3-year-old? And what things can you get done on the early end of the night? So again, he's party. Technically, you can get in at 4. Party starts at 7. So when all the good stuff starts happening, I get it. You have kids 6 and 3. The night can get late and they're going to be better and fresher earlier. Let's all give one suggestion. If I say trick or treat early, like go to every station for the first couple hours, you know, because I think that's what 6 and 3-year-olds are going to love. So I say trick or treat and get pictures too, because, you know, his kids get tired, they get crabby, and the pictures will be hilarious later towards the end of the night, but they might not be the best pictures, but those are probably the ones you'll remember forever. So I would say trick or treat and pictures. Pam, what about you for early in the party for kind of the younger squad?
So I'm going to be like, make sure that you get a spot to see the early parade if you don't think you'll be around for the late parade, because the parade is one of the fun things that happens during the party. And make sure it's not too far away from Main Street so that you can get yourself there to see the fireworks too. The fireworks and the parade actually take up a fair amount of the party time when you really think about it. So you want to make sure, and that first parade and the start of the fireworks are usually fairly close to each other, sort of relatively, as they, you know, as you look at the how everything's going to work for the night. So make sure that you can get yourself to Main Street where you can see the fireworks. Well,
all right, Ricky, final tip.
So because they have the little ones, I'm going to suggest that they eat before they get to the party, or if they don't eat before they get to the party, at least make sure that's the first thing they do when they get to the park. I know you're going to be wanting to rear and go to ride the rides and stuff like that, but seriously, it's such a headache to get food at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, like actual food, because a lot of the restaurants close, you know, once the party starts. So you definitely want to make sure. And that way, if you eat before you get to the park, then you don't have to worry about wasting any party time. And maybe grab a snack later while you're there. But yeah, I would definitely make sure that you eat something either right when you get to the park or before.
Hundo P, agree with that one. You like that? Good. Is that pretty hip?
Maybe 10 years ago it might have been.
I heard that on PSA during the football game this past weekend. It's Hundo P.
I keep it 100.
Oh, no. See, it was a PSA, so it is probably old. You know, they're not the newest things. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun talking all kinds of Disney topics.
Did we?
I love talking with our listeners and having interactions. It's awesome. So anyway, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about on the free iOS app that's going to look great on the iPhone 11 today?
Yes. Okay. So for the first time in a very, 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 very long time, Disney's Animal Kingdom is getting in on the New Year's Eve fun. So throughout the night, you'll get to enjoy special food and beverage because, duh, you have to have special themed food and beverage, right? And you will get not one, not two, but three dance parties you can go to. I'm sorry, but how many dance parties do you actually need?
Look. People like them. Dance
they do.
I don't understand how many dance parties. You know, not one, not two, but three dance parties. I'm just saying. Okay?
There may or may not be videos of Elizabeth, Jocelyn, and I performing in the boardwalk lobby.
It's true. You definitely need a dance party. Okay. There's also going, I'm going to move on. There's also going to be special pin trading opportunities. So if you're a pin trader, you're going to want to go here. There's also a limited edition pin. And as midnight approaches, you can head to either Discover Island or Asia to watch the special New Year's Eve countdown on the Tree of Life, welcoming in 2020.
New Year's Eve, there have to be dance parties, right?
Totally. That's serious. That's why I love Epcot. It's just a big old dance party from country to country. I do love Epcot.
That's true. That's a good point. I just think it's funny. It's at Animal Kingdom and they're like, throw it down the dance party.
How many times do you think they're going to play like Walk the Dinosaur, you know, and all those kind of songs?
That's going to play several times. Yeah. My favorite thing about the dance party, though, is seeing the kids who are super into it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's the best. Kid.
Not just the kids, Pam. You know, the adults are definitely included on that.
legit question, though. Will they have noisemakers? I mean, you think? I mean, seriously, if you're having dance parties and you're there till midnight, I think they're saying animals, you just got to deal with it for one night. I think pretty much.
I doubt they'll have noisemakers.
You don't think
the giraffes are already like around 6 o'clock? The giraffes are by that gate. They're like,
hello, it's night time.
Dude, I guess I'm a giraffe because at 9 o'clock I'm ready to hit the sack. I'm like, I'm done. I better go to bed.
You're as tall as a giraffe, Mike.
I know. There you go. It's my spirit animal. Anyway, it's going to do it for today's show. So check it out over at Theme Park News Disney Edition free iOS app at virtualmickey.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. Give us a follow on the social. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Again, one more time, see you out in Indy this Saturday. If you're anywhere in the continental United States, come on out, meet us. We're going to have a good time raising money for Give Kids the World, Noblesville, Indiana, this Saturday, September 21st, for the Indy Disney Meet. All right, time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. I think you're going to really enjoy Friday's show, kind of looking back and looking forward at the same time with Walt Disney World. A lot of fun talking about that stuff. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.